Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamodirayet Nashta Praishwa Bhadresho Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishne Swathamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Adipisaha Kalauna Shtrutrishamesha Puranarko Dhunoditaha Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. This is Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. We are on text number 32. Please repeat. Yatha hi avahita vahni darusho ekaha svayonisho nana iva bhati vishvatma bhutesho cha tatha puman yatha hyavahito vahnir darushvekastva yonisho naneva bhati vishvatma bhuteshu cha tatha puman yatha hyavahito vahnir darushveka svayonisho naneva bhati vishvatma bhuteshu cha tatha puman yatha hyavahito vahnir darushveka svayonisho naneva bhati vishvatma bhuteshu cha tatha puman. Yatha hyavahito vahnir darushveka svayonisho naneva bhati vishvatma ladies.
Yatha
Yatha, as much as. He, exactly like. Avahitaha, surcharged with. Vahni, fire. Dadusha, in wood. Ekaha, one. Swayonisho, the source of manifestation. Nana iva, like different entities. Bhati, illuminates. Vishva Atma, the Lord as Paramatma. Bhutesho, in the living entities. Cha, and. Tatha, in the same way. Bhuman, the absolute person. Translation. The Lord as Supersoul pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so he appears to be of many varieties, although he is the absolute one without a second. Please repeat. The Lord as Supersoul pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so, he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one, without a second. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of His plenary parts, expands Himself all over the material world, and His expansion and His existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, in all these, one can perceive the manifestation of the Paramatma feature of the Lord by proper spiritual culture. As from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam is the bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, the spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. Therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only, and thus divine existence is gradually realized. The difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. Om jnanati manantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun minitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadama hyam dadati svabhadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagaranagunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sintho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yatha hi avahito vah nirdaru shweka svayonishu, nane vabhati vishvatma, bhuteshu chatatha puman. The Lord as Supersoul pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one, without a second. This is a very common analogy given here. It's repeated many, many times throughout the Vedic literature. We'll see in a moment. It's taken for granted that fire actually resides in wood. Although we don't see it there, in some subtle form it must be there, because all you have to do is rub certain wood together in a certain way and fire is manifest. So Krishna instructs Uddhava this way in the 11th canto. He says, just as fire manifests differently in pieces of wood of different sizes and qualities, the omnipotent supreme soul, having entered the bodies of higher and lower life forms, created by his own potency, appears to assume the identity of each. This is exactly the situation that's being described here. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, Krishna can tell when he's going to kidnap Rukmini, as a matter of fact. He says, I'll bring her here after thrashing those worthless kings in battle, just as one brings a blazing flame out of firewood. And in the 10th canto, chapter 46, text number 36, Uddhava was trying to console Nanda and Yashoda to assure them that their son would come back to Vrindavan. This is long after Krishna had left Vrindavan. O most fortunate ones, do not lament. You will see Krishna again very soon. He is present in the hearts of all living beings, just as fire lies dormant within wood. Of course, this is something that Krishna tells the gopis as well. That's another matter. Anyway, so it's a very common analogy, and we find different examples of it in various Vedic literatures. So, Bohurupa Twalila Maha Yatheti, Sridhar Swami writes, in this verse, the Lord, or rather Shukdev Goswami, Vyasadeva also, is describing the pastime of how he appears in many forms, the Lord. Svayonishu, Swabhi Vyanchakeshu, different yonis, his own yonis, his own source. He appears in his own sources. That's hard to understand. That means, as Prabhupada writes here, the source of manifestation. Well, it's like this. Srila Prabhupada said that the source of your paycheck is not the source of your maintenance. So in the same way, the source of the manifestation of the Lord, or fire for that matter also, it's not necessarily the real source. The fire's already there. So this is the idea. In some subtle way, the fire is manifested there already. Why? Avahito. Avahito nihita, Sridhar Swami glosses this word. Means he is placed into. This word avahita, it comes from the root avadha, which means to confine within some place or to place into something. It also means to focus our attention. That's a very significant thing that we can just bookmark for now, and we'll explain it in a moment. Avahito nihita. The fire is there in the wood already. You just have to, we can say, focus your attention on the arani wood, or you have to just understand that the fire has already been placed there, either way. And the fire is going to manifest. Vishvatma puman parameshwaraha. That means, these two words appear in the verse, Vishvatma and puman. What does Vishvatma mean? Anybody remember what Prabhupada said? Lord of the universe, you can say the soul of the universe is maybe more literal. But the soul of the universe in a sense that when sometimes we say, the whole world knows this. We're not actually talking about the world, Bhumi Devi. We're talking about everybody who lives within the world. Similarly, Vishvatma, he is the Atma within all the Vishva. That means within all the living beings within this Vishva. Vishva means universe. And he's also called Puman. Puman means the supreme predominator, the supreme male. And he's Parameshwar. This is his gloss. Bhuteshu praneshu antaryaminopi pratiyoni nanatvena nanatvam eva uchyate. He had said, Sridhar Swami writes, that just as, although he's Paramatma, he appears exactly according to the differentiation of the different sources that he appears in. And he therefore appears to be varied. This is the point. He comes in different forms. What are the sources that the Lord appears in? He appears in the, we can say, the wombs of his various mothers. At least that's certainly one way to look at it. And according to their bhava, ase shrute kshita pato nunanata pungsam. According to their bhava, he appears accordingly. So this is one way to understand it. Jiva Goswami, instead, he says something very simple. Three-word purport. Yateti sarvabhutastha purushaha. The Lord, he's permeating the entire, all living beings. The Lord permeates. Thus. Now, when we get to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, then we see why Srila Prabhupada has directed his purport in the way that he has. So let's take a look at that. Avahita sadasthita. He takes the word avahita here as being always situated in that thing. And he says, yadi teshu eva agnirmathanena prakati kritasyat. If you manifest fire by churning two sticks of wood. This is the common analogy. Arani wood, they call it. When they light sacrifice, those who are actually qualified, they don't have to use matches. They don't use a Zippo lighter or a Bic lighter. They take arani wood and they, by friction, they rub the wood together and the fire is manifest. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in exactly the way that that happens, tada, then, Tani eva dharani dahati evam eva shravanadibihi sadhanaihi sakshat kritaha paramatma mayikamupati jivasya duri karoti iti dhvani. He says, it is hinted here that the jiva's upadhis, his mayik upadhis, what does upadhi mean? An imposition, yeah, designation, some false sort of thing that you identify with. And mayik means those having to do with Mahamaya. So the illusory impositions or designations of the jiva, they're all taken far away. This is the indication, he says. How are they done? How is that done? Because Paramatma sakshat kritaha. Paramatma becomes directly manifest, directly before us. And how does that happen? Shravanadibhi sadhanaihi. By the sadhanas, beginning with shravana. Evam eva, only in this way, he says, that very wood, Dharuni Dahati, it's burnt up. So in exactly the same way, our false designations, our bodily concept of life, it will be burnt away. In exactly the same way that fire eventually manifests if we rub the Arani wood together. So similarly, the Lord will eventually become very clear to Sakshat Krita. He will stand in front of us simply by this sadhana of hearing and chanting. Therefore, Prabhupada takes the purport in this direction. But what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur here calls dhwani. Dhwani means a hint or an allusion, not illusion, allusion. You're kind of suggesting something only, indirectly. Srila Prabhupada takes it even further than that and makes it more explicit. So let's take a look very carefully. What does he say? He says, as from wood fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Where in the world would we be without Srila Prabhupada's purports? And how much meaning can you pack into one sentence? It's very difficult. But Paramatma can be felt. We should not doubt this. We can have this realization of Paramatma, even Bhagavan. And it happens by the process of legitimate hearing. Legitimate hearing, obviously, since we're talking about dhwani or suggestion, it implies that there's illegitimate hearing. I want to ask anyone if they have any comment on this. What does it mean? Legitimate versus illegitimate hearing. Prabhu Pati Prabhu. Yes. Yeah. That's certainly one way to look at it. I think there are probably many ways. As milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effect. Similarly, when we hear Hari Katha from non-devotees, where I live in Vrindavan, it's very common. Every day there's at least 24 Srimad Bhagavat Katha Mahagyan Yajnas, they call them, going on. And it's all professional business. The people are coming only for infotainment. And the people are speaking only for their paycheck, as it were. So that's not really the legitimate process. There are other manifestations as well. I know that there are places where you're not allowed to read Srila Prabhupada's books, for example, until you read someone else's interpretation and become fully indoctrinated in that process. That's probably not very legitimate also. But we have to hear from the proper person. This is something Prabhupada emphasizes later on in his purport. He says, therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master. There are improper spiritual masters also, and you have to discriminate. No one is going to be responsible for whom you decide to hear from. You have to use your intelligence. And intelligence comes from these books, from these purports, Bhaktivedanta purports. So, legitimate hearing means to hear from the right source. And what else does Prabhupada emphasize towards the end? You have to hear with receptive ears only. You have to hear from Srila Prabhupada with a unique set of ears that you don't hear from anyone else using. Your fully receptive ears are for Srila Prabhupada, to hear from his purports, and you have to do it every day. Then the Paramatma, we know the verses, Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Then the verses become alive. They enliven us. Then we see the Lord face to face. Prakati Krita. In exactly the same way that fire becomes manifest by the proper process. Just from fire alone, from wood alone, you can produce fire if you know the science. So, now, the next thing Srila Prabhupada says, we have to hear and chant the transcendental subjects that are especially treated in Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Why does he mention these two things? Upanishads and Vedanta. Raise your hand if you've studied Upanishads or Vedanta this week. or how about this year, or ever. So why does Prabhupada say this? The next sentence you can say, well, he qualifies. Srimad Bhagavatam is the bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. But actually the authority of the Vedas is in these literatures mainly. There are two kinds, Shruti and Smriti. The authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe someone doesn't accept. There are some followers of the Vedas who do not accept Srimad Bhagavatam. They say it was written by somebody named Vopadev, or they say it's only for the less intelligent women, or so many things. There are some. Shrutamatare smritamitere bharatamanye bhajantu bhavadhitaha. People who are afraid of material existence, they may follow the Shruti very strictly. They don't accept the Smriti. And there are others who are called smartas. They follow the Smriti very carefully, but they neglect other things. And others here from the Mahabharata, whatever. The point is, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Vyasadeva's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And Vedanta Sutra itself encapsulates the very gist of the philosophical essence of the Vedas, which are the Upanishads. So we have to see this connection. We have to recognize this connection. I'm assuming that's why Srila Prabhupada has mentioned it here. But the Lord can be realized through oral reception, A-U-R-A-L, of the transcendental message. The message is only transcendental if the source of the message is transcendental and the speaker of the message is transcendental. Otherwise it can become, as Bhrigupati Prabhu has already mentioned, it can become poisoned, as it were. So, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. We can get mundane things from Srimad Bhagavatam also. We can. And there are many people who are satisfied to do that, I've already mentioned. But as fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. This is the real point that Prabhupada is adding to what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has only suggested. It all happens by the grace of the bona fide spiritual master. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado ityadi. And we've already mentioned that means the spiritual master has to be proper. And it also means that we have to be receptive. So, his divine grace. Whose divine grace? Krishna's divine grace. The spiritual master can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. Again, one of those power-packed sentences. Each clause is enough for an entire class. Okay, so we kindle the spiritual fire. Rather, the spiritual master kindles the spiritual fire. We see a spark of interest in someone. We say this. We see a spark of interest. We fan it into a fire. Something like that. So, one person's transcendental consciousness can awaken that of another. Now, there's a misinterpretation about this. This is very important. Krishna prema, what is that verse? Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabhunai. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described. Shravanadi shuddha chitta karaye udhoy. That there are people who say, so there are Vaishnavas who say, that if you hear from a Nitya Siddha devotee, then you're getting the real thing. And that you have to receive your Krishna consciousness from that Nitya Siddha devotee through hearing. And then the thing is planted into your heart from that spiritual master. Has anyone heard this? Raise your hand if this sounds right. Okay, everybody here is, you're all residents of New Dwarka. So, in fact, that's not what our acharyas teach. If you go to Radha Kund and you associate with the Babaji's there, you'll find so many who are ready to tell you what your Nitya Siddha Sarup is, because I'm a Nitya Siddha, they say. You see? But it doesn't work like that. It's already within you. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur counters. It's already within you. So how is it kindled, as we say? By the divine grace of the spiritual master. He teaches through his purports, through his example, through his personal guidance. He teaches us how to hear and chant properly, or I should say how to hear and chant legitimately, transcendental subjects instead of mundane subjects. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, you can parrot-like recitation, you can recite the Srimad Bhagavatam even, but it doesn't have the same potency. If you're not sincere, it doesn't have the same potency. If the speaker is not sincere. Therefore, one isn't required to approach the proper spiritual master. Okay. So the spiritual master can kindle that fire from the wood-like living entity. Here's another 20, since we're talking about suggestions here. 20, or vyanjana, means a hint. Srila Prabhupada is hinting. Our heart, we're like wood right now. We're not acting according to our potential because we've not been set on fire yet. Wood-like living entity. Woods also suggests hard. Hard-hearted. Dead also. All these things are implied here. This is another 20. By imparting proper spiritual messages, we've already discussed this. Proper spiritual message means you've received it in parampara, you've not added, you've not subtracted, you've not changed anything. And we're required to approach the proper person with receptive ears only, meaning we have to be submissive. And thus, divine existence is gradually realized. Even when you do all the things right, still it's going to be gradual. This has been pointed out elsewhere in the 11th canto. Krishna mentions that it's not that the fire immediately comes by rubbing the arani wood together. It takes some time for that fire to manifest. Similarly, most people take time with karma and dharma, following the Vedic rituals, and like varnashram dharma, etc. And they get elevated by that, but it's a very slow process, and it culminates in what? What is the culmination? What is the fruition of karma? You have the adhikar to cultivate jnana. Shankaracharya writes that a person is not actually fit to study Vedanta if he's not solidly situated in sadachar. Good behavior means dharma. Ordinary and dharma means karma, because otherwise it's vikarma. So, when we assimilate karma, or dharma, I should say, then we get adhikar for developing jnana. At that point, we're fit students to enter into the realm of Vedanta study, or jnana, atma-tattva, general spiritual knowledge. So it's gradual. And when we become full in that knowledge, Krishna says in chapter 7, Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadyate. Then we decide, okay, I'm actually going to do this now. They heard so much about surrender, let me do it, actually. When we have gyan, brahmabhuta prasannatma ityadi madbhakti labhate. Krishna says, when you're brahmabhuta, then you can actually do real bhakti. Other than before that, you're doing probate bhakti, or you're doing someone else's bhakti under his sponsorship. This is the point. Okay, so gradually realize. It's a gradual process. Prabuddhe bhakti jnana bhyam. Now, Srila Prabhupada says something. The following last two sentences of his purport are the most disturbing. He says, the difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. Does anyone feel uncomfortable about that? A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. The obvious implication here, if you're not hearing, according to this process, you're an animal. I mean, we all have our own threshold of credibility, don't we? But in my opinion, this is more offensive than saying that a woman likes to be raped, for example. Anyway, the difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. After many, many decades, sometimes we're still not hearing. Sometimes we're not even trying. Raise your hand if you read Prabhupada's books every day. Ah, see? Every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Then the Lord becomes happy. Yes, he's finally, after many, many millions of births, he's sincere. Let me become prakatikrita, fully manifest within his heart. Until that time, it remains this gradual process that we've described. Okay, so these things are Srila Prabhupada has also mentioned them in many other places. Wonderful, wonderful verses throughout his books. I'm just going to read a couple of purports that substantiate everything that Srila Prabhupada has said here. As fire is exhibited in different forms of wood, so under different conditions of the modes of material nature, the pure spirit soul manifests itself in different bodies. Obviously, we're talking not only about the Lord. The same thing holds true for ourselves as well. We are actually transcendental, but we manifest in different conditions of life. And we think that we are those conditions of life, and other people also think we are those conditions of life. What is that? What kind of jnana is that? Does anybody know? In chapter 18, text 20 and 21, Krishna describes it. This is, he says, sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavyam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tadgyanam vidhi sattvikam. Sattvic awareness, or sattvic vision, is one sees that in all the different bhutas or creatures, there's one kind of consciousness, and it's eternal. And it's not divided, although it appears in different forms. That kind of jnana, he says, is sattvic. On the other hand, prataktvena tu tad jnanam nana bhavan prataktvidhan veti sarveshu bhuteshu tad jnanam vidhi rajasam. When we see a different kind of living being because of having a different kind of body, that vision is passionate. We think, just like one time I was preaching at the University of Texas at Austin, and there was one of these Hasidic Jews, Orthodox Jews. He came up to our Sankirtan party out of curiosity. So we started talking, and he was explaining to me that according to his philosophy, which I'm going to assume is Jewish philosophy, of course you can't always assume. They don't read their books any more than we read our books. Often enough. But he said that in his view, there are different kinds of souls. Some souls are Jewish. And then there are non-Jewish souls. As someone from a Jewish background would know more about this. Anyway, so this is passionate, according to Bhagavad Gita. This kind of vision is passionate vision. And of course, we all know, we see this is a female, this is a male, this is old, young, rich, poor, whatever. All these dualities we see, and we ascribe these qualities to the spirit soul. The spirit soul has personality, has individuality, has variety also, but it's not what you're seeing necessarily, because that thing is always morphing from life to life, from moment to moment, as a matter of fact. So we should not get caught up in the passionate vision. And the tamasic vision, what does he see? Yattu kritsnavadekasmin karye saktamahaitakam atatvartha vad alpamcha tat tamasamudahritam. Not so relevant, but the person sees only one kind of work as the all in all, and he doesn't see the whole picture, and he thinks everything is by chance, and he doesn't understand things in fact. That is tamasic vision. So these are some things to consider. Now, in the fourth canto, there's a better purport. Better because it more closely comes to the same conclusion that Prabhupada has written in this purport. This is fourth canto, chapter 22, text 26. Upon becoming fixed in his attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the spiritual master, and by awakening knowledge and detachment, the living entity situated within the heart of the body and covered by the five elements burns up his material surroundings exactly as fire arising from wood burns the wood itself. Does this sound exactly like what Vishwanatha Chakravarti has already explained to us? Now let's hear what Srila Prabhupada says. It's even better. It is said that both the jivatma, the individual soul, and the paramatma live together within the heart. We heard this the other day, like two birds on one branch. In the Vedic version, it is stated, hridayam atma, the soul and the supersoul both live within the heart. The individual soul is liberated when it comes out of the material heart and cleanses the heart or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualized. The example given here is very appropriate. Yonim evotito agnihi. Agni or fire comes out of wood, and by it, the wood is completely destroyed. Similarly, when a living entity increases his attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is considered to be like fire. A blazing fire is visible by its exhibition of heat and light. Similarly, when the living entity within the heart becomes enlightened with full spiritual knowledge and detached from the material world, he burns up his material covering of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, and becomes free from the five kinds of material attachments, namely ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. Therefore, panchatmakam, as mentioned in this verse, refers either to the five elements or to the five coverings of material contamination. When these are all burned into ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge, where does Krishna say this in Bhagavad Gita? Bhasmasat kurute tatha. This is chapter 4, text 37, I believe. When knowledge burns to ashes all of our coverings, and by detachment, when we are firmly fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this transpires. Unless one takes shelter of the bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna by the spiritual master's instructions, the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. The living entity is centered within the heart, and to take him away, the heart is to liberate him. To take him away from the heart is to liberate him. This is the process. One must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and by his instruction increase one's knowledge in devotional service, become detached from the material world, and thus become liberated. Okay, Bhrigupati Prabhu has a question. Yes, please. I think microphone is coming. Krishna also mentions this in the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. He burns away. He is shining lamp of knowledge, we can say. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Boom. Very interesting class. My question, sometimes you get in the mail an invitation to get a credit card, and it says right on the envelope that you've been pre-approved for this credit card, meaning all you have to do is fill out the application, send it in, and you got it. So my question is, in ISKCON we have gurus, and aren't they pre-approved? Because you made the statement in the class that... there's legitimate gurus and there's not legitimate gurus, and it's up to everybody to discriminate who's a legitimate guru and who's not. Were you referring to gurus outside ISKCON, or were you referring to gurus also within ISKCON?
Okay, so first of all, let me make a comment on your character. Bhrigupati Prabhu, because of performing years of Sankirtan, is a person who is able to take any ordinary experience and translate it into pure Krishna consciousness. We heard this yesterday also. Today he's done it again. Junk mail, he's able to translate into Krishna consciousness somehow or other through his experience. So this is very much appreciable. As far as I know, the procedure in ISKCON for accepting a spiritual master is not that the spiritual masters are approved. There are two things. There is positive and negative pervasion. So the negative thing is to say we have no objection. The positive thing is to say we approve. In ISKCON, the GBC issues a no objection statement. That's my understanding.
So one has to be careful even.
Therefore, this is the point. What do they say? Let the buyer beware. This is the point. We are the ones who have to discriminate. We have to hear. And we have to hear enough that we know where to find gold and what are the symptoms of real gold. That information is in Prabhupada's books. Is this a same question or a different?
It's follow up on that. I mean, so is that Shastric? Is that? Yeah, no, I'm asking on the same point.
Yes. Very good. Yes, very good. There is oversight. That's right. Very good. Is that what you were going to say? Okay. All right, any other questions or any comments on any of this? There are many, many, many verses that describe this same phenomena throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, but I selected some that are most similar to this purport and the point that Prabhupada is making. He's taken all of his predecessors' commentaries, especially that of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, but he's amplified it in a way that makes the relevance much, much more. And the way that he stated things in this purport is so deep and so essential and packed with meaning. It's a great inspiration just to read this particular verse and so many others like this. Of course, he said everything is especially in the first canto, and within the first canto, I think many will agree that the essence is the second chapter. It's not a bad idea to memorize every verse of this chapter because each one of them is quoted very often and each one of them is very, very important. Okay, so I'm going to stop now. Bhrigupati has one more question.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, please.
A question. So this idea of like no objection, which means that if somebody, you know, was like say initiated by Prabhupada and there's no objection, he could be a spiritual master. Is it the traditional system that when one spiritual master passes away, if somebody is a disciple in good standing, that they automatically become eligible to become a spiritual master? The reason I ask that is I've had that impression over the years, but at the same time, when I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I remember this mention of the spiritual masters. You know, it wasn't like everybody was a spiritual master in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's, you know, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, etc. There was about like 9 of them, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like everybody was a spiritual master. So I'm really curious to know what is the traditional system, what is the proper understanding of who's eligible to become a spiritual master after their spiritual master passes away?
I'm going to give you two answers, and the first one is less important. With regards to those Gurujanas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have to understand the implications or the connotations of the word guru. It doesn't just mean someone who is an initiating spiritual master or even a shiksha spiritual master. It also means any elder person. So those 9 sannyasis happen to be senior to basically all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. For that reason, they're addressed in that way. But as far as your second point is, eligible, you use the right word. A person is, by becoming a disciple, you become eligible to become a spiritual master once your spiritual master has departed the planet, because that is the etiquette that Prabhupada observed. But it doesn't mean that you're qualified automatically. So we have to recognize that. I think most of us do recognize that. But eligibility is a tricky word, because actually the word in Sanskrit is adhikar. And adhikar is much more clear than the word eligible. Adhikar means you have the right to do something, but you have the right to do that thing because you have the capability of doing that thing. Eligibility kind of implies that, but, you know, eligible means you can put your name in the ring, and if somebody chooses it, whether you're qualified or not, You see my point?
So you're eligible if you qualify. Just like getting a driver's license. Everybody who's a citizen is eligible to get a driver's license, but then you have to qualify yourself.
Eligibility implies potentiality. That's my point. You're not automatically qualified just because you're eligible. Eligible means you have to qualify yourself, and then you can actually do it. You're allowed to go for it, but it doesn't mean that you're automatically qualified. See the thing?
Is that the traditional way it's happened, you know, over the...
Well, tradition, whose tradition you want to look at? I mean, people become spiritual masters by Paramatma's instruction. So, you know, I don't know if you can regulate it so much. Even in ISKCON, practically speaking, you know, what determines who decides to be a guru? It's a subtle thing. Is that okay? Archita, you wanted to say something else? Yeah, this is a big topic. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.